Ballistic Radio, the fastest growing gun talk show in the country. Join us. We're going to explore the topics of firearms, self-defense, and your rights as a law-abiding citizen. Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you need dynamite to take them off. Now, here's your host, John Johnston.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group. I'm your host, John Johnston. Remember, you can always listen to past shows at ballisticradio.com and get the latest behind-the-scenes info, photos, videos, and stupid arguments at facebook.com/ballisticradio. Coasting with me this evening, Mr. Andy Ulrich and Matt, the Minion. Gentlemen, how are y'all doing?
We're waiting for the pin to drop in here.
Wow. Well, am I acting that goofy before the show? Everyone's just kind of like...
The testosterone is quite flowing in this studio
tonight. Wow, okay. Phrasing. Boom. Are we still doing that? Quick reminder, this segment brought to you by Colt. Colt, the legend continues. So, joining us this evening is a very, very special guest that I'm hoping will not get us kicked off the air. We've got Dr. Bill Reel, the Chief Operating Officer of Blackfire Engineering, joining us tonight to talk about firearms maintenance, cleaning, reliability, and why what you think is probably incorrect. And I'm sure what I think is incorrect, too. Wouldn't you say, Bill?
More than likely.
More than likely?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, for those that have not followed the Facebook page or are just now tuning in, we're doing an endurance test on the Knights Armament SR-15 Mod 2 AR-15 pattern rifle. Right now we're sitting at 6,025 rounds. The gun has not been cleaned, has not had any malfunctions, and I just shot it for group the other day. And it's still shooting 1 minute of angle, which for those of you who do not know or do not care means that at 100 yards it is capable of 1-inch groups mechanically. Might actually be capable of tighter groups than that, but I'm not really much more than a 1 MOA shooter, and the testing conditions I had were not ideal at all. But anyway, reason why I bring it up is I've had all sorts of people that are just shocked and amazed at this rifle's ability to keep running and running and running without having been cleaned. And I posed the question on the Facebook page, why do you clean your firearm? And I thought a lot of the answers were really interesting, and in my opinion, for what it's worth, which I think is worthwhile, but probably other people don't, are cleaning guns for the wrong reasons, or just have no understanding of why they're doing it. They just do it because they've been told to, or my favorite is they were in the military, and the military is obsessive compulsive about breaking guns by cleaning them too often. I mean, literally. So, anyway, I thought what I would do is get someone that's got some letters in front of and after their name to come in and tell people that I'm right and you're wrong, or at least tell me why I'm wrong, or just sort of educate us on this in general. But anyway, for those that are not familiar with your background, Bill, and haven't listened to the other episode you were on, do you mind just real quick letting everyone know?
Sure. I am a registered engineer in about 27 different states. I have a doctorate in materials engineering, bachelor's in chemical engineering, a master's in materials engineering, and a master's in nuclear engineering.
That's a lot of time in school.
It's a lot of money in school.
Mm. Okay.
Tax dollars at work.
Hey! Yay, tax dollars.
Yeah.
I'm glad I could pay for that education, Bill.
I thank you.
You're welcome. Anyway, please continue.
We started Blackfire Ordnance Group, it's a spinoff of Blackfire Engineering about a year and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
where we developed a couple of tribological coatings for firearms in particular, a couple of them that have Teflon built into them, a couple of them that have boron nitride built into them, each one with a different purpose and a different function and obviously with different properties.
Right. So I guess as part of what you do, and without naming any companies, you've done some consulting for some pretty well-known firearms companies, also some stuff in the defense industry and blah, blah, blah. And I obviously don't want you violating any NDAs, but you are well-known inside of the industry for knowing what you're talking about. Well, that was kind of... sort of, unless you're certain people, and then you're almost as bad as a certain dentist everyone knows and loves. I love you, Gary. Anyway, I guess my number one thing is that the thing that I hear all the time from people is, well, I clean my gun after every single time I shoot it. And I've always thought that that was the quickest way to wear a gun out and break a gun, was to take it apart, put it back together, and clean it every time you shoot it. What are your thoughts on that?
It really depends on what the purpose is behind the cleaning.
Okay.
Is the purpose behind the cleaning to remove the dirt, the accumulated dirt, oil, and powder residue, or is it to actually clean the gun for inspection? There's a time and a place for detail stripping and cleaning, and there's a time and place for hosing it down with brake cleaner and relubing it and putting it back in your holster.
Right.
And the question is, what are you trying to do? The argument or the discussion changes whether you're talking about a rifle,
mm-hmm.
whether you're talking about a pistol, whether you're talking about a shotgun. And then it depends on whether or not you're talking about a revolver or a 1911 or a Glock or an AR-15 or an AK.
Okay. So I'm going to frame this conversation around what I like to think of as work guns, as you like to call them, people poppers. Guns that are pretty much intended for self-defense, either for civilians, law enforcement, military. They are tools, in my mind. They are tools that help you get home at the end of the day to your family, loved ones, pets, weird stamp and or rock collections, whatever you're into. I mean,
I like pipes.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'm glad for you, Bill. Who likes pipes? Oh, wait, I like pipes. The thing being, though, is that the point of those, in my mind, they serve a purpose, and that purpose is to go bang when you want them to go bang and to mechanically be able to hit what you want them to hit, and that's pretty much it. I don't care what they look like. I really don't care if they're dirty as long as they keep working. I've got a buddy of mine, you know, gun work, gun good. I mean, and that's from someone that has been in, I don't know, 200-plus, you know, shootings. And by shootings, I mean gunfights, not just shootings. And you know who I'm talking about, I'm sure. And he's very simple as far as that goes. And I try and ask him questions about what do you like. And he's like, I like ones that go bang. And it seems to me that a lot of people get confused between the difference between maintaining a firearm and cleaning a firearm. So what's, in the minute and 20 seconds we've got before break, does cleaning a gun make it more reliable, just the sheer fact of cleaning it, or is there more to it than that?
There's far more to it than that. It depends a lot on what you're trying to do. If you're a police officer and you have a gun that gets fired a few times a year,
mm-hmm.
keeping it clean is a good idea because that allows you to make sure that it's not being locked up by dirt, lint, whatever else. It also allows you to make sure that it's got proper lubrication.
Right. I would bet that if you so we're talking about a firearm that sits in a holster or sits in a drawer, something like that, does not get fired very often. So in that instance, frequent inspection, frequent lubrication, frequent checking to make sure it's in functioning order, good idea. What about the guns that you shoot a lot? I mean, do you need to clean those as often?
Really, you don't need to clean guns any more than to keep them lubricated.
Mm-hmm.
That's the major goal hurdle behind that, is to make sure the gun is properly lubricated.
Okay. So you mean breaking it down every time you shoot it is not necessary sometimes? That's incredible. Well, we'll talk about that a little bit more. And I actually want to get into that further. We got to go to break. We're talking with Dr. Bill Real right now. You're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Black Fire Ordnance Group, makers of TNT and TNT Black. Firearms finishes so tough, you need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. Grip it, love it, get it, the tough Walther PPX. Then get $100 worth of PPX accessories free. The PPX is Walther's tough workhorse pistol at a value price. Now get an extra magazine polymer holster and dual magazine pouch free with the purchase of a new Walther PPX at participating dealers. Grip the famous ergonomic handle and you'll love it. Shoot it and feel the difference. The Walther PPX. Grip it, love it, get it now. Offer good with $9.95. Shipping and handling. I'll tell you, that workhorse almost turned into something different just because I did you catch that?
You know what's funny is I think the best that you've ever read that was when you didn't have your laptop in front of you.
When I just did it off of memory and
yeah.
I'm like, hey!
I was like, wow, that was actually better than any other time you've read it off the script.
Huh, that's... Maybe it's kind of like when you put the blast shield down and then you blow up the Death Star, right?
Yeah.
Or wait, no, that's... That's on the Millennium. Anyway, Star Wars. wow, I'm a nerd. You're a nerd too, though, because everyone sitting around this table knew exactly what I was talking about. So there.
Yeah, well.
We're talking with Dr. Bill Reel about firearms reliability, cleaning, maintenance, and lubrication, which is Dr. Reel's favorite topic to discuss, I've been told during the break. Wow. So I guess sort of what I want to talk about at first is I brought up the Knights Armament. I don't want to turn this into a show about how awesome the Knights Armament rifle is. It's a good rifle. It's one that I've enjoyed shooting, other than the muzzle brake, which is terrible and a horrible design, but I'll talk about that in the review. You can't knock them all out of the park, I guess. But that's not that unusual to see a high-quality AR that's able to put a lot of rounds through it without being cleaned as long as you keep lubricating it.
Correct.
And that seems to be the big trick behind any gun at all. To keep it running is just to...
keep it lubricated.
Wow. The funny thing that I've noticed is that a lot of times when people clean their guns, you look at them and they're almost dry afterwards, mm-hmm. dry to the touch. Please elaborate on why that's a bad idea.
Well, greases and oils are the same thing. And if you clean your gun and you take a solvent and you dilute whatever oils that you put onto it, some of that solvent remains after you get done cleaning it. That solvent dilutes whatever oil that you put onto the gun to begin with. So after a few days, most of the oil, if you put oil on the gun, has either spread out or evaporated and is just non-existent. This is why the police officer that has a gun in his holster that he doesn't actually maintain. He cleaned it after he got done qualifying with a gun. He cleaned it after he got done shooting it or whatever. Oiled it, put it back in his holster, and hasn't given it a second thought. That oil evaporates. It can spread out because of the solvent that he put in or used to clean it. And he can wind up with a dry gun. You remember one of the big selling points behind Glock was a dry gun works, right? They hosed it down with brake cleaner and mm-hmm. fired 100 rounds or whatever it was, and
right.
it ran just fine. That is not typical of most machines. They don't work well without lubricant. And that's
right.
saying, you know, most Glocks don't even run that well without lubricant.
Well, and that seems to be, there's some confusion there too, because I've seen a couple of different people as I'm running this test. One of the things, they'll talk about X brand, mm-hmm. and they'll say, well, X brand is advertised as not needing lubricant. And I'd like to just nitpick slightly. Just because X brand, whatever it is, X design, you know, whomever, says that you can get a magazine or two or three or four through the gun without it malfunctioning with no lubricant on it does not mean that is ideal operating conditions. And honestly, it's akin to running your vehicle after you've removed all the oil from the engine.
It'll go for a little while.
Yeah, for a little bit. But how long? And... Why is there this huge fascination with running guns dry? What, do you have any insight to that?
Actually, it's a very good thing. Well, it's a very interesting topic of conversation, much aligned with the 2,000-round challenge.
Yeah.
2,000-round challenge is not really a challenge to see how well the gun operates dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, if you take a SIG, every time it fires, it's going to sling whatever dirt is going to block it off the gun.
Right.
Just like a gun that works dry, what you're really testing there is how lubricant tolerant or sensitive the gun is. So if you hose down a 1911, you can get through a couple of magazines without any problem with a typical 1911.
Hose down a 1911 with brake cleaner?
With brake cleaner or some sort of solvent.
Okay.
1911s are often thought of as being lubrication intensive. They're lubrication intensive because of the typical finishes that are put on the gun. And the amount of bearing surface the amount of area that all the bearing surfaces have. Big, full rails take a lot of lubricant to make sure they're clean. If you take a look at a Glock, you have bent sheet metal that barely makes contact.
Mm-hmm.
So it tends to be much more tolerant of lubricant.
Right.
Take an end mill, mill off those rails on the 1911, and guess what?
Same thing.
But you get down to those tiny little rails that wear really quickly, but they're very lubrication tolerant. The idea, and Chuck Rogers does a really nice 1911. He became one of the first, that milled away the rails as dust clearances.
Mm-hmm.
I think he even calls them dust cuts.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't do that. You can store dirt and grime there,
mm-hmm.
but that's not really the function of that.
Right.
If you have a thousandth inch gap, you're going to shove thousandth inch diameter particles at that gap, and it's just going to sit there and abrade until the lubricant washes it away.
Right.
So if you take your Knights,
mm-hmm.
you shoot 1,000 rounds through it. And every couple hundred rounds, you squirt a couple drops of oil in it. That oil flows and pushes all the dirt out of the area, and all of a sudden, you're maintaining the gun properly. All the crud, it may look just absolutely cruddy. But everything's clean that needs to be clean.
Well, and it's funny you mention that, too, because what I've been doing, and a lot of people have been asking about how I've been lubricating the test gun, and I'll tip everybody in on this. And keep in mind, this is temperature dependent. But what I've been doing, since it's been above, what is it, I want to say 45 or 37 yeah. degrees, I've been using grease on the bolt. Wilson Combat Ultima Grease 2, my favorite grease-based lubricant. And yours, too, if I remember correctly, because you're the one that told me to use it. And then I've been putting whatever oil I had handy on top of that, with the idea being that the oil acts as a transporting agent, and the grease is still pretty much there, and everything works good.
For most machines, and firearms are machines, they're tools,
yeah.
and they're just machines. For most machines, the function of oil is to cool a part and wash away grease.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I'm sorry, not grease, grime.
Yeah.
That's the function. Oils are very rarely actually used as lubricants. Almost every instance you'll see in every moving part, aside from something that has an oil pump and an oil filter on it, is grease.
So you're saying that you shouldn't just take Mobil 1 and dip your gun in it and use that as...
Actually, you know what? No, you shouldn't, first off. But it's perfectly acceptable as long as you keep it wet, because all of the grime that you're going to build up, if you just add a few drops to it every couple hundred rounds, will hold it in place.
Right. So I guess kind of moving around then, when I take a gun apart, it's because it stopped working. It's generally the only time that I disassemble a firearm
or
I'm changing something on it. And at that point, the thing that kills me, and I want to get your opinion on this, is a lot of times I talk to a lot of people about this. They'll go to the range. They'll shoot. They'll shoot 50 to 100 to 200, maybe even 250 rounds, which to me, and granted, what I do is not typical. But to me, it's not a whole lot of rounds to put through a gun, especially a modern, you know, quality-built firearm of any of the major brands that don't suck.
Right.
And there are brands that suck, and I'm sorry if you like those brands, and that's fine. You might have an example of one that was built perfectly, and good for you. But there are certain ones that are not good, and I will tend to avoid those. Anyway, different show topic. If you take any of those guns, most of them will go 500, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. I've owned guns where I've never once cleaned them at all and sold them after 6, 7, 8, 9,000 rounds. Mm-hmm. I've sold more guns than I've cleaned, which I know sounds terrible, but that's just kind of how it works.
Sure.
When people take apart a gun after every range session and clean it, and then they put it back together and expect it to work, the thing that I'm noticing there is that they've taken a machine that they know for a fact works because they just tested it, changed properties of that machine, and then not tested it afterwards. Is that a good idea?
That is almost never a good idea.
Okay, but that's what everyone does with guns.
Well, again, you're getting into the intended use question. If it is to be carried every day as a service pistol for a police officer, having something filthy dirty is not really that much of an option. Stains uniforms and it just doesn't look good.
Right.
So there are ways to clean guns that don't involve major disassembly and major...
even risks. Field stripping.
Yeah, even field stripping.
Yeah, I mean, it's odd, but I won't field strip a gun and then not fire it afterwards. I just won't do it.
You should never do that. If you're going to bet your life on it, you should never do that.
Yeah, and that to me, and I'll... You know, the Minion and I were having a conversation about that because before he started working for me, I mean, we've been friends for a very long time, so he kind of knows my little idiosyncrasies, but that was one that I don't think he had caught on. I remember you saying something or other to me like, huh, that kind of makes sense, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's all I get out of you is a mm-hmm. It's fine. I won't try and include you at all. Eric, you can just turn the Minion's mic off. He's not feeling it tonight. In all seriousness, though, it's one of the major pet peeves of mine, especially when I'm talking with everyone and they're like looking at me askance because I don't really clean guns that often. It's like, well, wait, but you're going home cleaning a gun then loading it up afterwards and expecting it to work. You don't know that it works anymore because you took it apart.
Very valid philosophy on that, because if you take something apart, reassembling it, you always stand the chance of bending a spring. You always stand the chance of pushing lubricant out of where it should have been Getting it assembled incorrectly is the big one.
I do that a lot.
Yeah. I've done that once or twice.
I've seen you do that once or twice, actually.
Magcatch issue, I think.
I was going to bring that up. Yeah. How many directions will a Magcatch go into an FNS9 long slide? One. How many directions can it go into it?
Four.
Four. And that's a big mate. And we didn't notice that until we went to shoot it.
And I know, really, because it started dropping magazines out of the gun.
Well, it did that because of another reason. It started binding up on the side of the frame was actually the Magcatch issue. We've actually got to go to break here. When we get back, we'll talk a little bit more about maybe what people should think about doing with Dr. Bill Real. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Black Fire Ordnance Group. Makers of firearms finishes so tough you need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. This segment brought to you by TopGunSupply.com. TopGunSupply.com is your web source for fine firearms, parts, and accessories. True product specialists committed to delivering the highest level of customer support to you. They carry top name brands including Ed Brown, Wilson Combat, Les Bear, Six Sauer, and many more, as well as premium pattern AR rifles. Whether you are looking to protect yourself or a first-time gun buyer or a competitive shooter, TopGunSupply.com can satisfy your firearms needs. TopGunSupply.com, your premier source for SIG parts and accessories. See, I read that quick enough that you almost didn't catch the mistake that I made in that ad. So you'll all have to listen to the podcast to see what I messed up there. But I did mess something up. So
I wasn't paying any attention, John.
I don't pay any attention either, actually, when I do the show. That's the big thing. We've got two callers on the line. We've got Paul from Cincinnati on line one and Jerry from Florence on line two. And we'll get to your calls, gentlemen. Just please hold the line. So before the break, we were talking about firearms maintenance, cleaning, and what keeps guns running and all that. I was going to steal this and make it sound like it was something I came up with, but then I felt bad and I thought I'd give credit where credit was due. Dr. Real and I were discussing during the break that the gun is not necessarily the thing that you want to obsessive compulsively clean. The magazines, on the other hand, are entirely different. And the interesting thing about that is all the people that I know that obsessively clean their guns never even pull their magazines apart.
Well, you got to think about it. If you take a look at an AR, a 1911, a Glock, any of these guns, the gun itself, take the magazine out of the gun. The gun itself does the same thing every single time.
It should.
And it should. Yeah. 1911, you know, for the people who think they're the least reliable gun out there, the slide, the barrel, and the frame do the exact same thing every time the gun is fired. It's constrained to the point where it doesn't have a choice. It does the same thing. The magazine, on the other hand, if you take a look at an ammunition column in a magazine, it changes with every single round. If you take a look at a 1911, and it's particularly pronounced in a 1911, the top round, number one round on an eight-round magazine will nosedive into the feed ramp the most every single time. But by the time you get to round three or four, it no longer nosedives. It barely kisses the feed ramp and slips into the chamber perfectly. If you take a look at a double-column 9mm magazine, it's a much less pronounced problem. The magazine, as the rounds get funneled up into the feed lips, the heel of the cartridge on a 9mm magazine, double column magazine, move off to the side, so they no longer catch each other on their rim. So they become more and more tolerant of dirt, grime, friction in the magazine column.
Right.
But if you take
go ahead.
If you take a look at any of the product improved 9mm magazines, the dirt-tolerant Beretta magazines, the PVD-coated ones, it's all about minimizing the friction inside the magazine.
Right.
And that's where your big gains in reliability and cleanliness come from.
Right. I was going to say, too, it's funny you mentioned the 1911. And something else, too, from a historical standpoint, my generation is horribly guilty of this. People do not realize how big of a leap it is to have actual semi-automatic pistols that are considered reliable. Up until, you know, somebody or other that you know came up with really good 1911 magazines, that wasn't something that was repeatable all the time. That was a custom gunsmith would tune your magazines for your gun to make sure they worked. And the as you said, and I mean, I've experienced this because I do a lot of high round count tests on guns, and usually, not always, but usually, when I have a problem, I can isolate it to the magazine. I don't blame the gun for it because it wasn't the gun's fault. You all right taking a call, Bill? Is that
sure.
Okay? We've got Paul from Cincinnati on line one. Paul, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you, gentlemen?
Not too bad. So what can we help you with this evening?
I was just going to interject that in the military, they taught us in the Army to do a functions check after sending our weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And it varies for the A2, A3, because if it's a burst, then you would charge it three times instead of where if it was the other one, you would charge it once and you release the trigger and it makes a metallic thud. And you go through the functions check, and that'll basically tell you if it's safe to shoot or not. If it doesn't get through the function properly, then you put it together wrong. And also, too, about magazines, another big thing. I don't know, for people who have been in combat, like I always tell people, you know, we would pull our springs because there's a lot of wait time between go time. And sometimes those magazines, those springs will lose their tension, and you don't want that happening in combat. And so you want to take that spring out and pull it and, you know, stretch it back out and so that it feeds those rounds into the chamber, and you're good for the firefight.
Well, let me kind of comment there, because it's not your fault, but you're actually repeating a lot of really common misconceptions about not only how springs work, but also how function checks work too. And do you mind holding the line, and we'll discuss both of those. And
sure.
The number one thing that I'm sure Dr. Real is. I wish I had a web camera in here too, because the look of horror on your face. And in fairness, I heard the same stuff too in the Army. But which would you like to address first, the functions check without live fire, or the spring retensioning via?
Oh, the spring.
Okay, let's talk about springs, because that's one of your things that you do, right? Is springs in particular?
Yeah, that for the failure analysis that we did for one manufacturer, it was almost entirely spring based.
Okay, so. I guess first off, and I hear this a lot, can you retention a spring just by stretching it out?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Springs work off of elastic deformation.
Okay.
In other words, every time you compress a spring, it supposedly, at least theoretically, comes back to its original shape.
Mm-hmm.
The reason springs lose that length over time is because nothing's perfect. You can't have a purely elastic deformation. There's always some plastic deformation in that compression cycle. Now, recoil springs aren't compressed to the same strain level, so they last for 3,000 or 4,000 rounds without too much trouble.
Right.
However, if you take a look at a magazine spring, especially for a 1911 or
an AR-15
magazine, it goes to full compression. In other words, a totally dense stack. That is the maximum that spring can deform. If you let it deform it and run over that a few times, you'll basically build in dislocations,
right?
Micro fractures in the spring, and that's why it loses length over time. If you re-stretch it and pull it back out, what you're doing is opening those cracks up, and you're just begging for it to fracture at the worst possible time.
So pretty much what you're doing is like when you take a paper clip and you want to break a paper clip, and
you're
start bending
back
it
and forth,
back and forth. You start annealing it until it. So
crumbles in your hand.
Right. So, one, unless you really like having broken magazine springs, if you've got an AR that stops working because of the magazine, take your boot, step on that magazine. Or, if you want to have fun,
Shoot it.
That's what I do. The other thing that you see with AR magazines a lot, if they're metal ones, is the feed lips will deform. They'll start losing rounds out the top of them. That's why slapping a magazine into the bottom, you'll see a lot of people when they seat a magazine, what they'll do is they'll seat it on an open bolt. They'll put it in. They'll slap it up into the bottom. The problem with that is if you've got feed lips that are weak, what you've done is popped a round or two off into the chamber of your gun that have not fed right, and then you're going to have a double feed or the dreaded triple feed, which is always fun to see happen. Magazines are
disposable items that should be disposed of when they are used up.
Right. And obviously there's certain situations where you can't do that, but those for most people are few and far between. And even the military's gotten a lot better about that in recent years as far as getting rid of bad magazines. as far as a function checks goes without live fire, especially on an AR, the thing about that is you don't know whether or not the firing pin inside of the bolt is...
Well, John, I look at it like this.
Yeah.
I was a function check guy right up until that FN.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, was that the first time you'd had that happen?
That was the first time a function check did not show a problem.
See, I've had that happen before, so that was... I'll share a couple of these. See, I've broken firing pins before, like in between shooting and reassembly, so I already knew.
Yeah.
If I absolutely cannot shoot a gun but need to see if it works or not, if I have an object that I can insert into the barrel of the gun, and usually a pencil with an eraser will work on most service pistols, I will see whether – check to make sure the gun's unloaded. You know, close it so it's – ready to go. Insert the pencil, point it in the safe direction, pull the trigger. The pencil should launch with a varying degree of force out of the end of the gun. You know the firing pin and or striker is hitting where the primer would be. Things should be good. Still doesn't make me feel real groovy, but it's a way to do it. In general, though, if in the military, too, and this is something that a lot of people, and I didn't really realize it until much, much later, the things that they tell you and the things that the armorers do in the military, unless you are in very specific places, is generally terrible for guns. We were talking about this before the show, and we've got about a minute and 15 seconds before we have to go to the next break. But most of the guns that wear out in the military wear out because of the maintenance that's done on them at the armorer level, wouldn't you say?
Pulling it apart, putting it back together is a major wear item for a gun.
Scrubbing it.
Scrubbing it every time with a metal brush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You start taking coatings off that should be there. You start just doing all sorts of things. So, yeah, anyway, as far as that goes, I mean, if you can only do a function check that way, I guess, but I've had it happen 3 or 4 different times. We've had it happen at least once that you were there for it, yeah. Where it would have been real bad news for me. Yeah, so don't do that if you can. If you're going to clean a gun and you're going to depend on it, clean it before your range session. One range session's worth of stuff is not going to mess your gun up. And if you really feel the need to clean it every time, just do it before you go shoot. I know that sounds silly, but a little bit of dirt's not going to hurt. If you need to wipe the outside of it down, wipe the outside of it down. We got to go to break. When we get back, we'll take Jerry from Florence's call. We will talk a little bit more with Dr. Bill Real about why guns don't work or why they do work, I guess. Well, I'm sure we'll come up with some more interesting, fun things to talk about. Right now, y'all are listening to Ballistic Radio. Welcome back to Ballistic Radio, presented by Blackfire Ordnance Group, makers of firearms finishes so tough you'd need dynamite to take them off. Visit them online at blackfireordgroup.com. This segment brought to you by Boresight Solutions. Boresight Solutions, tools to live by. So, anyway, we've got all sorts of people that are wanting to call in and talk to us. We've got Jerry from Florence, who's been patiently waiting for the last 15 minutes and 2 seconds. So let's get to his call. We've got Dr. Bill Real joining us tonight in studio. Jerry from Florence, how are you doing?
Pretty good. How about you?
Not too bad. Jerry, what can we help you with?
I would like to get his opinion on the what part of your weapon has the most wear and tear through a normal usage. I would think that it could possibly be the rail and the slide action going back and forth on your semi-automatic. I would think that would take more wear and tear than anything.
The two most critical and most frequently changed aspects of a gun are the magazine spring and the feed lips.
So pretty much just magazine stuff?
Magazine stuff. Todd Green's Springfield had less than a half of a thousandth of an inch wear over 60,000 rounds. He literally burned the barrel out, and the rest of the gun was like new.
Yeah, and that's we're talking about a 1911 that a friend of ours, Todd Lewis Green, did a 60,000-round endurance test on, which – endurance test seems to be the cool kid thing to do these days. I don't know. I stole it from Todd, but anyway, Jerry, the thing about guns and the thing that a lot of people seem to, you hear all these things about, well, you know, the dry firing's bad for them or the rails wear out or things like that, and that's just not most of the time the case. Assuming that the materials in the firearm are to where they need to be, and occasionally there are manufacturing defects that occur, and we could tell stories about that, but we're not going to because that would be a different show as well. It all really comes down to springs and magazines. The magazines being number one, you know, start talking about recoil springs, kind of start to matter. You see extractor springs, they matter. But other than stuff like that, the gun itself, unless you are putting the level of rounds through them that I do, and even then, I've yet to break a gun. I've come close, but I've not done it. You're talking about putting a $600, $700, $800, $900 gun, and before you break that gun, if you're maintaining it, you're talking about $11,000, $12,000, $13,000, $14,000 worth of ammunition that you have to run through it before you even get close to reaching the actual service life of a pistol, a modern one.
Well, so, speaking of magazines, it's extremely difficult with a new weapon. I have a Springfield 15 round mag, and to load that in its new condition is you'd have to have the strength of a Jolly Green Giant.
Well, it depends. I mean, a lot of it is going to be hand strength. They make mag loaders that are going to help. The one that you want to look for is the Uplula. If you're in Florence, probably the nearest place that has something like that is going to be the Field and Stream that's right there off of 7175. I've got one more caller I'm going to take, Jerry. I appreciate you calling in tonight, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So we've got one more. We've got Jake from Cincinnati, a comment on springs. We got 3 or 4 minutes left. Jake from Cincinnati, how are you doing?
Yes, sir, man. You realize you guys are blowing my mind tonight. You're explaining how there actually is a Santa Claus.
Yeah, well, you know.
And
it's
there actually is. Not only that, but there is an Easter Bunny, and you've just proven it.
Well, if we try.
Because you're going counterculture to what is widely believed, and I'm loving this. One other question that I wanted to get in there, though. The guy that used to have this show before you had a weapons expert that was frequently on, and he said that he bought some 1911 stuff that was 50 years old plus, and there were loaded magazines fully topped off in this load that he bought that were 1911 mags, and they functioned perfectly. And so their conclusion on that was that it's not the compression over long periods of time that causes the springs to wear out in a mag, but it is the constant loading and unloading that causes the springs to wear out.
Yeah.
And I thought that was very interesting because I had always believed you had to cycle your mags because of the compression.
No.
And that was my entire question. I'll go ahead if it's okay. I'll take your answer off the on the radio.
Yeah, that's fine, Jake. I appreciate you calling in. It's funny. We were kind of just talking about that, and I was talking about the old Black Follower magazines that you see in the military. And at one point, I got the opportunity to shoot a bunch of those that have been loaded for quite some time, and they all, for the most part, worked fine. Magazine springs, do you need to cycle them to let the tension off of them?
Absolutely not. It's spring compression is not a time function. It's a cycle function.
Okay.
It could stay compressed for years and years and years and years and never change. But if you go up and down 1,000 times in a day, that'll make the difference.
So it's kind of like we were talking about, but using the same example, the paperclip, where if
exactly.
You take a paperclip, you bend it once, and it's much easier to bend the next time. It's much easier to bend the next time. It's much easier to bend the next time, and then all of a sudden it breaks.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what happens with mag springs. Occasionally you get bad batches. I know there was a couple years ago, Smith & Wesson had some M&P 45 mag springs that came out that were bad from the factory. I know because I got a batch of those, and the way I figured that out was I fired one round of carry ammo, by the way, that I had been carrying in the gun and then got a malfunction, and my gun was down. Well, I go to, and this is at a class, so it was not a big deal. I go to reload, do my second mag. I get one more round out of it, and hey, that mag spring was bad too, and they had both broken while sitting on my belt, which didn't make me feel good. And if people ever make fun of me about carrying two guns at once, which I occasionally, a lot, all the time do, that's why. Because they do randomly break for no reason at all. So we got a couple minutes left, Bill. I mean, what do you want to tell people as far as to keep a gun running? I know we already kind of beat this into the ground, but let's talk about it one more time.
The number one thing, 95% of reliability and function out of a gun is the magazine. Mm-hmm. Pure and simple. It's going to be that every single time.
Okay.
If you have a hammer-fired gun, or if you have a 1911, then it is less the recoil spring, more the mainspring. Mm-hmm. If you have a Glock or a SIG or an HK, it's more the recoil spring, less the hammer spring.
Right.
But every single one of those, ARs, every single pistol.
Magazine. Then lubrication?
Then lubrication.
Okay. And wait, and I know there's been one gentleman in particular that keeps wanting me to combat test the Knights armament. I'm going to make a video especially for him. Because he's like, well, it's good that the gun runs in range conditions, but what about in combat? And my response to that, and please correct me if I'm wrong, if I close the dust cover on that rifle, which is how I keep it unless I'm shooting it, drop it in mud, stand on it, do a little jig, flip it over, stand on it some more, do a little jig, make sure that there's nothing obstructing the barrel, and then go to shoot it, it should work fine because the way the outside of the gun looks, or how dirty the outside of the gun is, has no effect on the inside of the gun and the mechanical properties it has and whether or not it runs, correct?
Correct.
Wow. So when you see like those endurance tests where they bury it and stuff like that, that's marketing.
Pure and simple.
The reason why
I'm not going to block ice,
yeah,
pure marketing.
The reason why I don't do things like that is because it's cheap and tawdry, and I try not to treat the listeners like that's what they want to see and or hear. But I mean, if you guys want that, and some of you seem to, I will make some videos this week and post them on Facebook of a dirty gun still running. An exterior of a gun being dirty, still running. Anyway, Dr. Real, I appreciate you taking the time to join us and blow some people's minds about how to keep guns running.
Always fun.
It is always fun. So, and it's funny how we start saying things. I didn't even put the number out there and people are calling it. So, anyway, remember, you can always listen to past episodes at ballisticradio.com, like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. That's actually where I'm getting most of the show ideas, is just a stupid people thing. the stupid people saying things during the week, and it's like, hey, let's talk about that on Sunday. Anyway, as always, thanks for listening, everyone. Be safe, and see you next week at Ballistic Radio.